Clap your hands all over this house. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, mighty God. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel. Go to Joel, the third chapter. While you're turning there, I want to say what an honor it is to be home. Praise God. There is truly no place like home. We've been traveling the country, and I love my church. I love my church family, and I just love to be home. Did anybody come for a move of God tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There's a lot of prophecy wrapped up in this text. Suffice it to say, this thing is wrapping up. The day of the Lord is near. And I believe tonight that there are some decisions that need to be made. I want to preach for just a couple moments on this title, Decisions in the Moment of Conviction. Decisions in the Moment of Conviction. If you'll put your Bibles down, help me pray tonight. Stretch your hand towards this pulpit. Let's pray right now to God. Mighty God, we love you. Amen. Give them one more hand clap of praise as you're seated tonight. From Genesis, or the beginning of time, man was given the ability to choose, the ability to chart one's course, the ability to make his own decisions. Adam and Eve were given the gift of the ability to choose, and God as well gave us the gift of human will and choice, free moral agency, if you would, because love is not love without choice, but love without choice is slavery, it is bondage. God wants a relationship with his creation, but not a forced relationship, not a mandatory relationship. But God is looking throughout the earth for a man. He is looking for a woman that would make a decision to live for him. I've come to tell somebody today is a good day to make a decision. A decision that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the economy looks like. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. I made a decision that I'm going to serve the Lord. Come hell or high water, I don't care what the day looks like. You got to make up in your mind that you're going to serve the Lord in this day. You'll be swept away by every other doctrine. You'll be swept away by all the noise and the chatter of the street. But I wonder, is there an apostolic under the sound of my voice that'll make a decision and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what the day looks like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Make a decision by will and by choice that no matter what the day looks like, when my foot hits the ground, we're going to serve the Lord. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Does anybody got a made up mind that this is the day, no matter what your bank account looks like, this is the day that the Lord has made? But oftentimes people find themselves in the valley of decision. And Joshua said it this way, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah asked the people of God a penetrating question. He said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? You see, the people of God were at a crossroad. They were vacillating between two opinions. It was a constant back and forth, a battle of going back and forth from God to God or God to God. There was a battle that was happening, and they were in the valley of decision. And the prophet Elijah says to them, he says, it's time to make up your mind. It's time for you to make a decision. And I believe I've come tonight to put that question in this sanctuary. You've got to make up your mind. Is anybody going to make up their mind today that I'm not going to have one foot in and one foot out? That I'm not going to serve another God on Monday, Tuesday, and try to come to the house of God and serve? I'm preaching to somebody right now that you've been vacillating between both worlds. I'm preaching to somebody right now that hasn't made their election and their calling sure. I'm preaching to somebody right now, you've got to jump in this thing both feet. You got to make a decision today. Man likes to live in an in-between place, but God said, if you're lukewarm, you can't be lukewarm. You've got to make a decision. You've got to choose to serve God, or you've got to choose to walk away. Elijah said, you're not going to stay in this place any longer. Today is the day that you make a decision. Today is the day that you make up in your mind that I'm going to live for God. Today is the day where you walk this thing out and you start saying, look, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to come to the house of God and we're going to live for God and we're going to make a decision by will and by choice, because God Dawson's not going to drag you to the house. He gave us will and choice. He gave us the ability to choose. He gave us free moral agency. And you, by will and by choice, have to wake up in the morning and say, I'm a child of God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. You're going to find me in the house of God. But decisions, it is a cutting away. A decision is cutting off all other possibilities. When you make a decision, you burn the ship. When you make a decision, you burn every other option there was available to you. That's why marriage is such a big deal. Young people, I'm going to use Dawson because he is my friend. Brother Dawson, you're a young guy. It's okay to have options at this point in your life, unless you got a girlfriend somewhere. But it's okay to have options right now. But there'll come a day and time where you've got to walk to an apostolic altar and you've got to make a vow. You've got to make a decision, which means you've got to cut off every other possibility. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, you got to cut off other possibilities. You got to cut off other places where you can go left and go right. And you got to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. I'm going to take my family to the house of God. So you stand at the altar, and you stand at the altar and you say, in sickness and in health, for better and for worse. Brother Dawson, in every situation, you got to give God praise. But when you get married, in every situation, you got to stick around and you got to follow through with the vow that you made. And you got to stand there and you got to say, man, I'm a young guy and I got a lot of options, but today is the day that I choose. Today is the day that I cut off all other possibilities. I'm preaching to somebody right now that you've been vacillating between two worlds and you've been going left and you've been going right. But God is calling somebody today to make a decision. Got to cut off all possibilities. I remember I couldn't tell you what it would be like if my dad never came to church. I couldn't tell you what it'll be like if my dad didn't make a decision to live for God. But I remember being in the house and having a lot of options. I remember playing football and basketball, and at 5 years old, I was the starting quarterback on the football team that was seven-year-olds, and I was playing basketball, and I was the point guard. And I remember when my dad lifted up his hands at an apostolic altar. And I had poured myself into playing all of these sports and doing all the things that I thought I was going to do. You know, everybody says they're going to go pro. But I felt like in that time, I would put in the time and the dedication and I was going to make it. But I remember the day that everything changed. I remember when he lifted up his hands and he was an alcoholic. And I remember him walking in the house and starting cutting things off. Best thing that ever happened to me is him walking in the house and saying, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going here anymore. He said, son, God's got bigger things for you. You're going to be something in the house of God. You ain't playing no more. And he started cutting things off. And he started cutting off all other possibilities. And as a 13-year-old kid walking in the house, the only thing that I can see was the house of God. And the outcome tonight is I'm standing before you because somebody down the line said, no matter what everybody else thinks, I'm going to make a decision. And I'm going to make a decision and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, I need a parent right now to get up on your feet. You got to make some decisions tonight. You got to say, I know this might hurt your feelings, but we're going to cut some things off today. We're going to unplug some things today. We're going to... You got to make a decision that says we're cutting off all other possibilities. We're burning the other ships. We're going to sail on this boat, and we're not getting on another boat. It doesn't matter what happens. I trust God. And when you do that, everybody else gonna try to pull you back into their boat. But that's why you gotta make up in your mind. And you gotta be willing to stand with God all by yourself. You gotta be like Shammah in the bean field that says, everybody else can walk away, but as for me and my house, we're gonna stand here defending this ground. You gotta get an attitude today that says, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, you're gonna find me serving the Lord. Clap your hands all over this house. People have to make decisions. People have to cut off all other options. I'm thankful for people that would cut off all other options. I think about Pastor, and I think about the decision that they made to come to the city of Birmingham. Do you realize that it's a miracle that we sit here today? But it's practical as well. Because it's just one man getting a hold of God and saying, I'm going to make a decision. God said, I want you to go somewhere and start a church. And when God put this on the map, I thank God for a man of God that'll stick in for 30 plus odd years and build what you sit in right now. I'm telling you right now, I don't know you if a man doesn't make a decision. Well, I'm not standing here today if a man doesn't make a decision. And there's something about being great in the kingdom of God or great at any field because other people take notice of what you have. And I'm sure down the line there were more options that the pastor had. I'm sure down the line he could have built this anywhere. He could have built this probably bigger in another place. But when a man makes a decision, I'm telling you, I'm going to stand here. This is the flock that you've given me. This is the ground that you've given me. These are the people that you sent me to, and I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. That takes effort. You know what he did? You close your ears. I know this is weird, but I'm going to preach anyway. He bought a burial plot. Thank you, Jesus. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm going to cut off all other possibilities. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now, and I'm telling somebody, you got to cut off every other possibility. There's nothing in the world. You've got to live for God, young people. You've got to cut off all other possibilities. There's no better life. This is the best life. You got to burn the ship today. You got to say, I'm going to take this role that God has given me, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to follow it all the way out until God shifts me in a different direction. But until God speaks to me, you're going to find me right here doing the thing that God has called me to do. I'm thankful for a man of God that'll stand in and make a decision. Men make decisions. We standing at the restaurant today, and I'm asking my wife what she want to eat. My father-in-law jumps in. He says she's going to have this. And I'm like, hold on. Wait. He said, we just got to make a decision. I said, you and the Holy Ghost. There comes a point in time, Brother Terrell, where you've got to make a decision. And you've got to, I'm telling you, the world is scared of commitment. The world doesn't want to commit. The world wants to keep its options open. But as a child of God, you don't have any other option. This is the best life that you can live. You're not walking out of here tonight. I'm going to preach to you right now and tell you, you've got to live for God. Come on, somebody. Come hell or high water. Come hard times. I'm going to be here in the church living God, living for God, serving God, doing the things of God. You got to get an attitude, and you got to burn every other ship. You've got to cut off every other possibility. You got to make a vow. You got to make a vow like Hannah did. You got to get so desperate that you say, God, just give me a child. Just give me a child. And when you get desperate in the house of God, you start to make decisions, and you start to make vows to God. But what we got to learn from Hannah is that when you get the promise, when the baby's well, when you got money in your pocket, when you prayed to God in your moment of desperation or in the moment of conviction, you've got to follow through with what you told God. When the going gets tough, you got to follow through. When your baby walks away, you got to follow through, because somebody's got to be here when they come back. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, you got to make a commitment today. You've got to make a decision. You've got to cut off every other possibility. Elijah said, make a choice. Make a decision. You're not going to stand here in this valley. You're going to have to choose. The Bible says that they stood there quiet. They didn't speak a word, because they had not made up in their mind who the true and living God was. That's what happens when you get outside of the house of God and you start playing with other gods. Then you start getting distorted in your view about who the true and living God is. But just by observation, my God can answer prayers. My God can hear. My God can see. My God can deliver me in my time of stress. Praise God, praise God. But not all decisions or moments are created equal. There are decisions that are made in the moment of conviction. The moment where God is a wrestling match or a boxing match, if you would, with God, and you're trying to keep your distance so you can figure out how you want to attack, but God starts closing the space, and God starts approaching aggressively, and God has you on the ropes, and you're leaning back, and you don't have anywhere to go. It's when a preacher preaches the word of God to you, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been hit, and God has pegged you, and God knows that exactly where you are. It's the moment of conviction when you're on the ropes and God has you cornered. And there's a choice and a decision that has to be made. The moment where you realize you're convicted, you're guilty as charged, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has opened up the windows of heaven and spoken directly to you, and there is no way to escape what you feel in the Holy Ghost. The moment where you have to make a life-altering decision, a decision that no doubt will change the course of your life and direct you towards your destiny or your true calling. One man said it this way: Choices are the hinges of destiny. It's the chronological moment. It's the moment where there's a collision, a moment where the fullness of time of man collides with the fullness of time of God, the place where God comes crashing into your perfect world. Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. All the years of wanting and wanting and waiting for the child that God had promised him. Finally, 25 years, he gets the promised child, Isaac. And chronological moment happens, the defining moment where God crashes in on his world. And he tells him, that child that I gave you, I want you to sacrifice that child. There's a moment in time right here where he's got to make a decision. There's a moment in time where he's got to say whether he lives for God or not. There's a moment in time where he takes the blessing and tucks it under his arm and runs away from the call of God, or whether he accepts the call to do what God has called him to do. And in this moment, the Bible says that he wakes up early in the morning. I don't believe that there was much vacillating at this moment with Abraham. You see, he had been through a lot. He had already tried to do it his way. He had already laughed at the plan of God. And now there's a moment where Abraham has to make a decision. This chronological moment where God crashes in the middle of your perfect world. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And he comes in and he says, I want you to sacrifice your son. The Bible says that he wakes up early in the morning. And he goes to the mountain and he takes his son up the mountain. This is the test, we understand, because every decision will be tested and proven at every angle. And he takes his son up the mountain. And it's one thing to make the decision, but it's another thing to implement the decision. And he lifts up the knife. And this is where he follows through the plan of God. And we know the story. The angel comes and snatches the knife, and we know the rest of the story. But it's these moments that we have where God comes crashing in to our world when everything seems to be okay, when everything seems to be going the way that it needs to be going, or when everything is a wreck, or when everything is a mess, and God comes in and crashes down. He goes and he sees the disciples on the sea, and he looks at them and he says, follow me. It's the moment where they've got to make a decision. This is the way that we make money. This is all that we know. But when Jesus comes crashing in, I said, when Jesus comes crashing in, you've got to respond to the plan of God. You've got to respond to the word of God. You've got to respond to the will of God. But what happens oftentimes is that the moment fades. And time separates us from the conviction. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? And after you're separated from the moment, the enemy goes in and he digs into his toolbox and he pulls out tools that we know very well. He pulls out logic and reason. And you begin to reason yourself out of the plan of God. Am I preaching? Logic and reason are phenomenal things, but in God's kingdom, they don't rule. Logic and reason we use for a lot of different things, but in the moment of conviction, in the moment where God has you right where he wants you, that's the moment where logic and reason goes out of the window. Can I get an amen in the house? And you got to place logic on the side, and you've got to place reason on the side, because in that moment, that's where God can touch you the most. Because when you go home and sit at the kitchen table, then the call of God seems too heavy to bear. And when you start doing the numbers, it doesn't make sense that God asks you to give this much. Or when you go and look at your timesheet at work, it doesn't make sense that God would ask you to take a day off of work. I'm preaching to somebody right now. God has called somebody in this house. God wants to do something big in your life, but you've got to get away from logic and reason. You've got to approach God and say, God, in this moment, whatever you need, whatever you ask of me, God, I'll do it. That's a difficult thing to do. And I'm not saying that it's easy, because logic and reason have a graveyard that has stolen many destinies and many plans and many dreams and many goals, because we get home and we start talking about it and we have to figure out how it's all going to work out. But that's why you come to the house of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. You got to get back to the house of God so that we can preach. You got to get to the house of God so we can tell you about the children of Israel that were at the Red Sea and Pharaoh was on their back. You got to get back to the house of God. It don't make sense. I know it don't make sense. It's revelation. When you get a revelation, then you can do anything for God. When you get a revelation, that's why you got to get to the house of God. It's not reasonable that I would take a day off of work and teach Bible studies. It's not reasonable. The numbers don't add up. The children of Israel, when they took off for the Sabbath day, it didn't make sense. Brother Sutton talked about it this morning. The principles that Chick-fil-A has pulled out of the word of God, where they don't work on Sunday and they're still blessed. I'm telling somebody, you serve a God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You serve a God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You got to get your mind off the money and get your mind on Jesus. God's going to work it out. God's going to work it out. I come to preach somebody right now. I come to tell you, stop trying to make the math make sense. It won't make sense. When God is in it, when God is in the equation, everything, anything is possible. That's why you got to come to church every time the doors are open. Because when you come to the house of God, that's typically when God can hit you with the conviction that you need in order for you to follow him fully. Because you got people all around you that have walked where you've walked and that have been where you've been. And when somebody gets the microphone and say, I had cancer in my body, but God is a healer. I didn't have any money in the bank, but I went to the mailbox. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about right now. I got sickness in my body, but God stepped in right on time. It's not logical. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make logical sense that the children at the wall of Jericho were walking around in a circle. What y'all doing? You wasting your time. That God you serve got you looking like a fool. Let me tell you something. When you get a revelation, I said when you get a revelation, then it trumps all reason and logic, and it trumps all things that make sense. God can do anything. I know you think that's simple preaching, but when you get a true revelation that God can do anything, I'm a living testimony tonight. God can do the impossible. But in the moment of conviction, you got to step out on faith. You got to step out on the fluid waters of the word of God. You got to step out. And I know we like control. We want everything to stay just like we want it to stay. But when you start to let God take the wheel, I'm telling you, God's going to do bigger things than you can ever dream of. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So when you get to the end of the rope of your imagination, God does bigger things than that. You've got to get on board with the kingdom of God. And so we're walking this thing out. We're just trying to make good decisions. We're trying to be the best dads and moms, and parents and young people that we can be. But God will crash into your world and God will start to shake some stuff up. Thank God for Brother Josh. Hired me at 16 years old, and we started working. taught me everything that I knew about the business. He taught me how to answer phones. A lot of the stuff that I know is I learned at Bada Ding, answering phones and grabbing his toolbox and rolling it over to the cart. And I worked there for a long time. Too long, I'll explain. But there came a point in time where God woke me up in the middle of the night. And God said, it's time to shift. And I was the glue, because I was the mediator between Josh and a lot of other young men that work with us. And I was trying to manage everything that was happening. And if I left, it was a big deal. A lot of things would shake up. And I tried to reason it away, but God kept on knocking at my door. He said, it's time for you to shift right now. And J. Irvin Collection wasn't even a conversation. I didn't have another option. I didn't have another plan B. I didn't know what me and my wife were going to do. But I knew I had to wake up early in the morning. And I had to go and talk to Josh. Josh, I have no clue what's going on in my world. But God is saying, you got to shift right now. Like, God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. How am I going to be able to tell the pastor that I'm neglecting what I always was taught about the circles, and I don't know how I'm going to provide for my family? But God loves the details, and God has it all worked out. Josh was in the Holy Ghost that day. He doesn't even realize. I'm sitting there talking to him. And while I'm talking to him, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost moves so strong in just a regular conversation. And I'm talking to him, and I know, Dawson, this is the most that I've heard the voice of God, that God was calling me to shift, and God was calling me to break away, and God was calling me to do something else. And I stood to Josh kind of embarrassed, because I feel like I was letting the company down. And I feel like I was letting everybody else down. And I went to him and I said, bro, I don't know what's going on in my world right now, but I got to shift. I didn't have one preaching engagement. I probably hadn't preached but one time. I didn't know what my life would be. I didn't know what the next step was going to be. But God said, it's time to burn the ship. And when in the middle of me talking, Josh said, I'll sell you the company. And when he said that, God spoke to me as clear as day again. And he said, that's exactly what I want you to do. God's concerned about the details. God can plan out your life better than you can plan out your life. God knows where he needs you to go, but in a moment of conviction, you can't cower away from the call of God. You can't, man, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You can't cower away from the plan of God. You can't cower away from what God has called you to do. You got to step out on faith. And you got to put the call of God in process. And you've got to bring it down. And you've got to put it in a system. A dream without a plan is just a wish. So if you don't pull it down and make it real and make it tangible, that's why people get so confused, because the devil will, you'll walk out of here and then the devil will let you reason it away. And then even if you don't reason it away, you don't put it in day-to-day process where you can actualize the call that God has given you. And so when you get the dream, when you get the call, you've got to respond to the call of God. And you've got to take one step on faith. And the next day, you've got to go back to the place of conviction. Moses, you got to go back to the burning bush. Paul, you got to go back to the road to Damascus. You got to go back to the place where God spoke to you. Because it's in the moment of conviction where you really had clarity. It's in the moment where God had you backed in a corner and you had nowhere to go. You were guilty as charged. Whatever the man of God said, whatever God spoke to you in that moment, you can't even deny. Nobody else has to know, but you know God knows where you're at. And you stand there, and this is where God lets you see the clearest. Because you're seeing through the eyes of the Spirit. The carnal man is going to make you recall back to the place of reason, back to the place of logic. But I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, you got to take one step towards the vision of God. You got to take one step toward the call of God. You got to take one step toward the plan of God. I'm not necessarily talking about formal ministry. It may be a call to prayer. It may be a call to Bible study. It may be a call to do something greater than the place that you're standing. Life is quick. It's quick. I realized somewhere down the line that I didn't want to live a mediocre life. I wanted to do something of consequence. I wanted to do something to leave my mark on the earth. I wanted to do whatever God had called me to do. There comes a point in time when you realize the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And you've got to make some decisions that's going to affect eternity. You've got to make some, I'm not just talking about how much money you're going to make. You've got to make some decisions that have eternal consequences. Time is running out. The clock is ticking. It's time for somebody to wake up and make a decision that's going to lead you towards your purpose. It's time for somebody to wake up and make decisions that's going to further the kingdom of God. It's time for somebody to pray for a little bit more. It's time for somebody to teach the Bible study. It's time for somebody to sing the song. Get to a place where you want to live a life of meaning. You want to live a life of consequence. You want to live a life that's going to further the kingdom of God. On your job, you can further the kingdom of God. But you got to stop making it just about being there for the money. And you got to look at every single soul that you sit by every day. It's time to further the kingdom of God. It's time for somebody to make a decision. I know there's a moment where everything seems clear, but the devil will try to snatch that away as soon as you leave out of this sanctuary. And he'll say what he was talking about, don't even worry about that. Or the moment where you were down in the altar and you had the most clarity, you start reasoning it away. I'm telling somebody, tonight is the night that everything changes. If you believe that, you ought to stand up on your feet. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to lift up your voice. I'll never forget walking into UAB hospital, as was our custom at this point, because my mom was in there for so long. I remember walking up to that seventh floor, fishbowl is what they call it. And I remember all of my brothers were with me, my wife was with me, and we walked into that room, and today was a little bit different. Because I could see a little worry on my mom's face. And throughout the whole time, she was faithful and she didn't complain at all. But you can just tell someone right that day. I remember standing there talking to her, and she's trying to smile through what she was feeling, and trying to just put on for her boys to let us know that everything was okay. But I knew everything wasn't okay. I looked at her, I said, Mama, what's wrong? She said, I'm a little fearful. Jesus. I said, God's got it all under control. There's nothing to be afraid of. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about you guys. I remember in that moment, us three brothers We looked her right in her eye and we made a vow. You remember that? We made a vow to mama. I said, mama, I'm not going nowhere. I'm gonna be here. Her right in the face, and I said, we're gonna be fine, we're gonna be okay, we're gonna live for God. And it was the same night, Brother Stephen, that my mom slipped into eternity, and she can rest assured, doesn't matter what happens to me in this life, I just want my baby saved. I just want my baby saved. And today, as I look across this sanctuary, I never forgot the vow that I made to my mama. I never forgot the decision that I made in the moment, because I was convicted, I was pricked, because I wished that she wouldn't even have those thoughts. But it was the moment of conviction. And I stood there and I made a vow. And I said, come hell or high water, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to be here. You get to a place where you live for God, for yourself. And I would like to think that it wasn't because of that vow, but I'm telling you, that early on after she had passed, I knew I had made a commitment, and that was no other option. Downtown Birmingham, there's a sign that says, to this cause we are dedicated, and there can be no turning back. I don't have any other options. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Stand with me all over this building right now. God's calling somebody tonight. God sent a preacher here tonight to let you know that it's not over. God's circling back on some of those moments right now. God's circling back on some of those moments. I'm telling you, it's not all lost. You can make the right decision today. You can live for God today. You can do what God has called you to do. It's not over. There's hope in the house of God. You can do whatever God has called you to do. Feel what I'm preaching tonight, go ahead and come on around this altar right now. Go ahead and lift up your voice. Go ahead and tell God yes. Go ahead and tell God whatever you want, God. Come on, somebody. Tonight is the night to make a decision. No turning back. You've got to cut off all of the options tonight. Come on, somebody. Destiny is hanging in the balance right now. Make a decision right now. Make a decision right now. Possibilities. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to dig into the call of God.
moment pass you by. Don't let the moment pass you by. You're in the moment of conviction right now. Make a decision. Make a decision.
See a miracle.
more time in this house. Link up with somebody right now. Link up with somebody right now. Find somebody to pray with right now. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, don't leave this sanctuary until you make a decision. Don't leave this sanctuary tonight. I don't care if you missed the dinner fellowship. This is the most important thing right now. You've got to just make a decision tonight. Destiny is hanging in the balance right now. Go ahead, press on in right now.
So Lord, if you have the Holy Ghost, why don't you let that heavenly language flow up out of you for a little bit here tonight? Just spend some time. Just shut out everything else and let the Spirit of God flow. Let the anointing flow. Just bask in that. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Let that Word of God settle down into your heart and into your spirit. Does anybody here believe him tonight? Does anybody believe that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? Does anybody believe that he's a good God? He knows exactly what you're going to be in the next 24 hours, the next 5 years. He sees you. He's got his hand on your destiny. Praise God. We are so thrilled and so full of the goodness of God. I appreciate the good word in the house. Brother Jermaine, I appreciate the goodness of God coming forth in your heart, in your life, in your ministry. And he's talking about his mama tonight. And I thought, you know, people in heaven know what's going on here. She's got to be real, real happy watching these boys grow into men and raising their families in the house of God. And it's really sweet. We're so glad that Kaylin and Peyton received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the name of Jesus tonight. Praise God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It'll keep you till the Lord comes. Just press in and get all that you can get. Praise God. We're going to make our way down toward the gym tonight, and Brother Jeff and his crew have prepared a meal for us, and we want to go and take advantage of that. I know you want to linger, and I know you want to fellowship, but just kind of do that in motion. Make that portable. Just make your way on down. Brother Travis, would you pray for us tonight and bless this food, this meal? Amen. Beautiful, beautiful presence in the house tonight. Just enjoy the presence of God with one another. God bless you.